Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. My name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau, and I'm your host. The mission in my work is to empower people to manifest their values of compassion and wellness in their everyday lives. I'm the author of The Joy of Vegan Baking, The Vegan Table, Color Me Vegan, Vegan's Daily Companion, On Being Vegan, and the upcoming The 30-Day Vegan Challenge. The new book is slated for a January 2015 release, and the online program is going strong, giving you everything you need to make the transition healthfully, joyfully, and deliciously. You can learn more about who I am and what I do by visiting my website, joyfulvegan.com. You can also join the 30-Day Vegan Challenge at 30dayveganchallenge.com. Thank you to everyone supporting this podcast, making the podcast possible, period, and keeping it free for all of the listeners out there. For that, supporters receive content that's exclusive to them via our new Patreon system. They receive recipes, resources, messages, and essays from me, transcripts from the podcast, video hangouts with me, etc. So please become a supporter, a patron today, not only to help me continue this work, but also to keep this podcast free to everyone and also to receive special exclusive content and a connection. You can do so at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau. And if you go to joyfulvegan.com, you'll see the Patreon logo all over the place as well. Thank you to our compassionate business partner for today's episode, Field Roast. You've heard me talk about Field Roast and rave about Field Roast. Field Roast is an amazing, innovative, and brilliant company responsible for creating the most fabulous food products for all of us to enjoy. They do it for us. I've told you about their dinner sausages, their smoked apple sage, their Mexican chipotle, their Italian sausages, and of course their breakfast sausages, their apple maple breakfast sausages, and I've talked about their frankfurters. And now they've gone and created a really incredible burger made in Seattle and formed by hand, truly artisan. Each burger is unique, and if, as I always say, what we crave, and I do believe this is what we crave, fat, salt, texture, flavor, and familiarity, this burger has all of that. It's juicy. It's not like the dense patty, like so many veggie burgers that just kind of dense patty. This is a juicy burger. I have to say, it's like the ground meat burgers I grew up with, but this meat is ground, but it's grain-based meat, and it's cruelty-free meat. Literally, it's built from grains such as whole, barley, fresh carrots, celery, garlic, and onion. And it's fabulous. I'm absolutely blown away. Field Roast just constantly pushes the bar and they never cease to amaze me. These burgers are now available in retail stores across the nation. Go to fieldroast.com to find out where to buy. You can click on where to buy to find out where you can get these burgers. And these really are the perfect summer lunch, dinner, or picnic fare. So head over to fieldroast.com right now to find out where you can buy them. Now, do it now. I just wanted to share a couple love letters with you before we get started with the content of this episode, because they are a testament to the fabulous listeners out there, and they are a testament to the hope that's possible for everyone, to give all of us hope. The first email is from Rhonda. I was listening to some of your podcasts today, and one in particular brought me to tears. The shame of overweight vegans. I relate to this so much as I am overweight and struggling with veganism at the moment. I too am embarrassed at times to tell people I'm vegan due to my size. I imagine all the things that will go through their minds that are unkind, and it really bothers me. I feel myself not speaking about my lifestyle to them because people are already searching for chinks in your armor as a vegan, and my weight just seems like one more issue for them to latch onto and discount veganism. I love how you talked about having compassion not just for other people and animals, but also for ourselves. It never occurred to me that while I am taking care to not harm others, I have been slowly tearing myself apart. Your podcasts have taught me how to speak my truth about animal rights while still managing to have compassion for those that haven't become enlightened yet. Thank you for your words and wisdom and teaching me how to extend compassion to animals, other people, and finally, myself. Thank you, Rhonda. This is from Derek. Dear Colleen, I was vegan for 3 years thanks to you. I found your cookbooks and fell in love. I started listening to your podcast and felt so empowered and strong. Last summer, I started getting hives and had horrible food allergies. My doctor told me I should try incorporating meat back into my diet. I was devastated, and I knew through your podcast that I didn't have to do that. I did, however, try, and I started feeling better, but I really wasn't feeling better. I felt guilty for eating meat again, and that was so difficult for me. I recently decided that I'm going to go vegan again. I would rather live a compassionate life than contribute to something that is so evil and awful. I've started listening to your podcast again and once again feel empowered. I'm so excited to eat fully vegan again. When I was vegan, I felt so strong, light, and happy. Thank you for re-inspiring me back to the path of enlightenment. I do not want to contribute to the harm of sentient beings. Please send me positive thoughts on my journey back to compassion. Thank you for everything you do. You truly are an inspiration to me and are one of my role models. Thank you, Derek, and welcome back. Welcome back on behalf of all the animals. And from Leah, hi, Colleen. I've been listening to your podcast for several months now, and I've got to say, just like many others have said to you, you have helped me on this journey in so many ways. Becoming vegan was first a health and weight loss initiative for me, and immediately after I came across your work and your podcast, I realized other reasons why a vegan would choose this lifestyle. Compassion, simply put. I wanted to share a quote I came across today that made me think of you and the work you and all of us vegans do. It's from Dostoevsky. Quote, love the animals, love the plants, love everything. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in all things. Once you perceive it, you will begin to comprehend it better every day, and you will come at least to love the whole world with an all-embracing love. Dostoevsky. It reminds me, actually, Leah, of a quote from the Tao Te Ching written by Lao Tzu that actually reminds me of it. I think it's something like, love the whole world as yourself, then you want to help all things, or something like that, or see the world as yourself, then you can harm no being, or something like that. It's the same concept. I love that. She goes on, sorry. This quote means so much to me because becoming vegan has helped me see and feel compassion, not just for the animals, but for everyone, including myself. For years, I've struggled with anxiety and self-deprecating thoughts that have led to a rocky relationship with food. While this struggle will ebb and flow, even now, after a decent amount of therapy and personal work, listening to your voice and support has meant the world to me. You're like, I mean, you are my friend that continuously reminds me to think about my intentions and value instead of my shortcomings. Instead of thinking about how I don't matter or what I've done wrong, I think about how much I do matter and how much I can do for this world, in this world, for the animals. You and the work you do are such a blessing to me, and I can't thank you enough. With love, Leah. Yeah, that you just thanked me, Leah. That just absolutely brings tears to my eyes. I cannot believe that I am so privileged to be able to play this role for people like you. And I thank you for sharing this with me. And all of these letters are a testament to not only the hope that's possible, but also to the work that has been put into this podcast and to the work I do. So that's why I need your support, everyone, to continue giving people the tools and resources they need to reflect their values and find their voice and their self-worth. It's pretty amazing. So please become a patron today by going to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau or going to joyfulvegan.com. So everyone, this has been a very exciting and very busy week. First of all, after threatening for months, the new website is live. You've heard me say joyfulvegan.com. In the past, you could always have gone to joyfulvegan.com, but it would have taken you to my old website. And now it is a brand new website. Go to joyfulvegan.com. It's a much easier website to navigate. It also enables me to post in and reflect the different mediums that I work in. And so I love the way the website's broken up. It's broken up by listen, read, watch, look, connect, depending on what I'm doing, whether it's a video or a photograph or a post or an article or a book that I'm writing. It really reflects the different mediums I work in, and it really enables you to share my content, my posts, my pictures, my blogs with ease. And so I'll be improving it all the time. I would love your thoughts. Please connect with me there. You can leave comments. I'm using Discus now to enable people to leave comments. You can pretty much share every page on social media, and please do so. So I hope you love the website. I do, and you can find it at joyfulvegan.com. Also, thank you so much for your response to and your enthusiasm about our Italy trip. It has gotten more downloads than any other podcast in the last couple months. I am so thrilled by your response. I have missed Italy a lot since I've been back home, and I have truly tried to continue being mindful about everything I got from it and keeping bits of it with me since I've been home. Regretfully, I haven't had the time or the bandwidth to continue practicing Italian. It's just been such a crazy, gosh, month. Have I been back a month? Yeah, I guess almost. But it's been crazy the last few weeks, and I hope to spend at least a few minutes a day just spending some time on Italian so I can remember it for when we go back, and we will be going back. And I just love the language for so many reasons. One of the things that made this last week so crazy was A, adding that special Italy podcast episode to my already full schedule. So that was a lot to add, but it was worth it. I'm glad I did. And B, preparing two presentations for the National Animal Rights Conference in Los Angeles, which I just returned from last night. And I think it was the best conference yet. It was such an incredible event. It had the largest turnout yet in the history of this national event, and it was filled with the most amazing activists and organizations and individuals and companies. It was just such an honor to speak there again this year. The last time I spoke was a few years ago, and frankly, it hasn't been back in LA in the last couple years. So the last time it was in LA is when I spoke there. And it was great to present together with my friend Melanie Joy, author, of course, of Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows. But she's a very good friend, and our work complements each other very much. And our panel talk together was on providing hope for all of us in this movement. Melanie explained why the fact that there is so much backlash against veganism is evidence that we're winning. So I love it. I've heard this before. I've actually read her articles about this. She's sent many different iterations of this presentation to me, and it's just fantastic. It then provided actual evidence that we are winning in terms of the rise of veganism all around the world. I presented in our panel talk my 10 stages of what happens when you stop eating animals to give voice to the fact that once you stop eating animals and you have your awakening, another journey begins. And of course, you can hear more about this by listening to that particular podcast episode. I think it's called From Consumption to Compassion. It's actually, I said this in the talk, it's actually realistically, really, it's From Compassion to Consumption to Compassion. But that's another story. And the episode is called 10 Stages of What Happens When You Stop Eating Animals. So you can go find that episode and the first episodes on the first three stages in great detail. You can find those also on iTunes and Stitcher and however else you're listening. And I'm going to be continuing to add the different episodes to SoundCloud and to my website. I don't have the episodes archived on my new website the way I did in the old one. Partly that's because I really want to bring them out fresh and new with accompanying complimentary content, whether it's photos or video or what have you. So you can still find all these episodes, obviously, all over the web and every way that podcasts are kept and archived on the web, like I said, through iTunes and Stitcher. And then my second talk on Saturday was my I Don't Eat Fake Meat talk about how our language either perpetuates or undoes violence against animals. So it was just an honor. It was a magical day. I was at the conference only on Saturday, but I had many meetings both before and during and after the conference regarding some pretty exciting things I'm very hopeful about, I'm very excited about. Of course, I always say that, and I will share these with you as time goes on and as they're definitive. But it was an incredibly productive trip and an invigorating one, connecting with everyone at the conference. And of course, we had some fun in between because I was in Santa Monica for a couple days before then. So even though I was working, I was also having some fun connecting with, again, connecting with colleagues and friends. And thank you to everyone who said hi at the conference and shared your appreciation with me. I must say I felt very loved and very appreciated, and for that I'm very grateful. But we've got a lot to cover here today, so I think we shall move on. Now, when I originally started writing this, my intention was to include a few phone calls and then go into a couple email questions that were related and answer the email question, but the email question really became the center of this episode, and so I don't think we're going to have time to play the phone calls, so we're going to save those for another time. But this, of course, is our What Would Colleen Do segment, and this is a big issue that's come up a lot, and I wanted to provide my thoughts about it, but it is in the context of the What Would Colleen Do segment. Of course, you can contact me via joyfulvegan.com. You can click on contact to ask your question, and of course, I take calls once a week, so you can visit joyfulvegan.com to find out how to call and when to call, and you can find the telephone number so you can ask your question. And I always say, I do not have all the answers, but I do have a lot of opinions, and I am sharing some of them with you today in this episode. Once again, thank you to Field Roast, makers of amazing vegan meats, dinner sausages, breakfast sausages, meatloaf, Frankfurters, deli slices, and now delicious burgers. Thank you so much, Field Roast, for all you do. Fieldroast.com. Now, the first email in the What Would Colleen Do segment is from Stephanie. She wrote, what is your stance / approach to palm oil? Lots of vegan-friendly foods, including Earth Balance, use palm oil. I'm sure you're aware of the loss of habitat for orangutans due to deforestation making way for palm oil plantations. Do you still use Earth Balance or other products containing palm oil in light of this? If I choose not to use Earth Balance, do you have any other suggestions of what I could use as a substitution, especially for baking? And then another similar email from Melissa. Hi, Colleen and other awesome people. I learned about the orangutan and other animal deaths as well as environmental issues caused by palm oil recently and noticed there's quite a debate online about whether it's even vegan. Earth Balance says it uses mostly palm fruit, which is more sustainable, but of course, any palm oil or fruit use equals more demand, and that somewhere someone is chopping down rainforest and destroying orangutan habitat. I'd rather not use it, and it's been a source of angst and debate with a non-vegan friend who gives money to help the orangutans and does not understand how vegans can use Earth Balance. Probably a separate issue, but I'm grateful to her for telling me about it. Colleen's cookie recipes are the only ones I use because they come out perfectly. I'm hesitant to change them, for example, by substituting canola oil without guidance. Someone at Violet Sweet Shop in Seattle said I could substitute canola oil as long as the binder is ground flaxseed, which it is in Colleen's oatmeal raisin cookies anyway, but not in the chocolate chip, my husband's favorite. Any thoughts you have on palm oil would be much appreciated, and any substitutes for Earth Balance as well. Thank you. Adore you, Melissa. Well, thank you both, Stephanie and Melissa, for your question. For those of you who are not aware of it, I think many are at this point, but let me just explain briefly what's going on here with palm oil and why it's become such a huge issue. Palm oil started being used commercially in processed packaged foods so much, as prevalently as it is, when companies, under consumer pressure, started doing away with trans fats in their products. Now, that's a whole other conversation, because that whole campaign to do away with trans fats was so bizarre to watch, in my opinion, because the whole trans fat thing became a very easy and very safe way to focus on a product that some may say is really not the reason for most of the major health issues we're facing in our countries or developed nations, etc. And so what started happening was that I think it kind of became a bit of a scapegoat. The real issue is meat, dairy, and eggs in terms of heart disease and diabetes and certainly certain cancers. But that, again, is not what becomes focused on, especially in terms of the general public. And so what happened is trans fats became the focus. And then when it succeeded in terms of labeling and just this was the buzzword and no one wanted to use the partially hydrogenated oils, you started seeing trans fat-free donuts and trans fat-free potato chips. So great. Now you can have donuts and pretend they're healthy because they don't have trans fats. And then you can pat yourself on the back while eating them and while continuing to eat animal-based meat, dairy, and eggs, which are the most destructive products directly for the animals, of course, the animals who are exploited, used up, and killed, but also in terms of human health, in terms of disease. For me, it was just silly, in my opinion, the way it came about. That doesn't mean trans fats are good. I'm just saying it became such a hyped up campaign when really in the end, is that really what the big problem is? That's why I don't talk about even baked goods that are vegan as health food. It's not. Like, it's still, you know, just a junk food. But the point is, now you see people saying, you know, trans fat free as if it's something to feel good about when really that's not the main culprit. So when trans fats became taboo, companies that wanted to avoid trans fats, obviously, specifically partially hydrogenated oil, needed a fat and filler that would enable their products to have a long shelf life as a replacement. And since palm oil fit the bill, and then also it appears, and again, this is the joke, right? It's also not health food. It appears that, you know, the saturated fat content is different. So that fit the bill so they can say no trans fats, you know, and it's palm oil, what have you, and so whatever health claims they make, it exploded in popularity. and in use and in planting and harvesting. It's in chocolate bars, ice cream, energy bars. It's in some peanut butters. It's in lipstick, lip balm, soap. It's in everything in between. It's prevalent in commercial products. The problem centers around the fact that rainforest regions, in particular Borneo and Sumatra, are the targets because this is a tropical plant. And that's what's happening is that these forests are being destroyed to plant palm for palm oil and palm fruit. We're talking about major habitat loss for orangutans specifically, and of course other animals who live in these rainforests. We're talking about major deforestation and the harming and killing of orangutans and other wildlife. There's other issues as well. There's human encroachment. There's also poaching. But in terms of palm oil, instead of reusing and replanting in already deforested areas, some palm oil producers are continuing to destroy orangutan rainforest habitat to make way for new palm oil plantations, leaving orangutans homeless and vulnerable to starvation and disease and poaching and other conflicts. All problems pushing the orangutan species closer to extinction, which could happen within the next 10 to 20 years, and it breaks my heart. It's horrific. When I started hearing about the rainforests and orangutans and other animals suffering because of palm oil plantations, I immediately looked into it and I started reading labels. And I don't buy a lot of crackers and processed foods anyway, or highly processed foods anyway, but I did start noticing. So for instance, when I would go to Trader Joe's and I would want to buy table crackers if I was having a party, and I'd buy crackers for, you know, for cheese, and I looked on the label, I noticed that Trader Joe's, the crackers, a lot of those water crackers, they had palm oil in them, and maybe a couple other products, but those were the ones that I remember noticing had palm oil, and I chose not to buy them, and I didn't. And I then noticed down the road, because I always look at labels, that's what I do, and now Trader Joe's doesn't use palm oil in these table crackers anymore. They use sunflower oil. And nope, I have no idea about the practices of sunflower production, but I'm sure, as with any crop, it has negative consequences for someone. All crops do. But the point is, I do avoid products that have palm oil in them when I don't know the source. And just like I don't buy chocolate if I don't know the source of the cocoa, just like I don't buy tofu if it's not organic, if I don't know the source of palm oil, I don't buy the product. Now, palm oil will be on the label as palm oil, but sometimes you see it as palm kernel oil. Sometimes you see it as palmitate, sodium laureth, L-A-U-R-E-T-H, sulfate, sometimes stearic acid. Sometimes it just says vegetable oil. So for companies who are putting palm oil on their label, I applaud them because they're at least offering some transparency to the consumer who knows to look for palm oil. But the truth is, I don't fit the consumer profile that's perpetuating the problem. I'm doing what I can to not buy palm oil, but this is a massive problem because hundreds of crap products out there on the supermarket shelves sold by multinational companies who profit off of these cheap products that incidentally have very high costs, that's the problem. Those of us who are conscious consumers, you know, conscious vegan consumers trying to create as little harm as possible, that's what we want everyone to move toward, is actually reading labels, not buying products that have palm oil or anything sourced in a way that's not sustainable. The problem is the companies who bank on their consumers not being conscious, but this has become an issue where people are becoming more conscious, and so companies are moving in a different direction. So we need to increase consciousness and support companies not contributing to this habitat loss. But you know what? In my opinion, Earth Balance is not one of the companies contributing to habitat loss. And I'll explain. The first time I saw this issue rear its head, this issue meaning the connection between Earth Balance and palm oil, was at an animal conference. It may have been the Animal Rights Conference in 2008. It may have been. It was a while ago. And people were asking passersby, it was actually the Rainforest Action Network table that asked passersby to sign petitions to boycott Earth Balance because of their use of palm oil, because palm plantations are destroying the habitat of orangutans. And so I was stopped by a woman who asked me to sign. And I said, I absolutely agree that this is a horrific issue, but that as far as I was aware, Earth Balance didn't get their palm oil from Borneo or Sumatra. And she said, well, it's still just a really bad issue. And I said, yes, this is a really bad issue, and it's something we all need to address and help stop. But as far as Earth Balance was involved, I said that my understanding was that they did not get their palm oil or palm fruit from Borneo, Indonesia, or Sumatra. They got it from Brazil and Malaysia. And I asked her if she knew that. And she said, well, no. And I asked if anyone in her group had talked to Earth Balance. And she said, well, no. She was there on behalf of Rainforest Action Network, but no. And I said, well, okay, I'm hoping that Rainforest Action Network had talked to Earth Balance. She said no, but I would imagine, hopefully, that they would have. The point is, I asked why she wasn't targeting companies using palm oil that's actually destroying the rainforest and the orangutan habitat. And she said, look, I'm just a volunteer and I don't know all the details. And I said, well, I just really encourage you to look into the issue before you get on board asking people to boycott something if you don't have all the details. I mean, I had more information than she did about the source of Earth Balance palm oil. So, and I was very nice to her. I mean, I wasn't like the Spanish Inquisition, but I really questioned what was put in front of me. And it sounded like she hadn't. And so I just thought perhaps before she was asking people to boycott a company that was making it easier for people to stop eating animals and their secretions, a company that's not the problem when it comes to the rainforests being destroyed. Now, raising this issue with Earth Balance and every other company is the right thing to do. We want to do that. We want to do the right thing. Once we're awakened to the suffering that we were causing in consuming animals, we see suffering in other areas of our lives and in the world, and we don't want to participate in that. And this is what I talk about in stage 8, and I mentioned this is what stage 8 is about, and I'll talk about it in greater detail when we get there. But this is what happens in stage 8 of what happens when you stop eating animals. Your awareness is expanded. You make connections between the exploitation of animals bred and killed for human consumption and other social justice issues, right, related to the animals, to the environment, to non-humans. And that's a good thing. We should always be asking questions. We should always question what we're doing and know what we're paying for. We should always strive to make the most compassionate choices when we have the power to do so, right? Now, frankly, I think this campaign to boycott Earth Balance is coming from the right intention of wanting to do the right thing. But in my opinion, it's misplaced and it's misguided. I believe Earth Balance when they disclose where they're getting their palm oil and their palm fruit from. They say, this is their statement, 30% of our palm oil comes from Brazil. Our Brazil-sourced palm oil is 100% organic and is used in all of our organic products. And because orangutans are not native to South America, the Brazilian palm industry does not adversely impact their well-being. The remaining 70% of our palm oil comes from responsible sources in peninsular Malaysia, also a non-native orangutan habitat, which are all members of the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO, the leading global organization developing and implementing global standards for sustainable palm oil production. End quote. The attacks against Earth Balance are coming from a place of frustration and devastation because we feel utterly powerless against this huge issue, right? Huge issue. And I understand that. But to say that Earth Balance's products are not vegan because it uses palm oil is kind of astounding to me. This is backfiring with the general public who will continue to eat dairy-based butter because it's easy for them to demonize this vegan product and feel that they're doing something good by eating dairy-based butter. But more than that, what's really unfortunate is that even though Earth Balance has disclosed exactly where it gets its palm oil from and that they're committed to sustainable harvesting methods, to those statements, the attackers say that it's either not true or not possible, that it's not possible to harvest palm sustainably. My question is, how is palm different than any other crop, especially those crops that have a history of being harvested unsustainably? Like soybeans are notorious for being grown unsustainably, responsible for wiping out the rainforest in order to grow a GMO crop with pesticides so we can feed these cheap soybeans as feed to cattle in order to kill cattle so that people can eat their flesh. That's pretty unsustainable. The environmental effects of soybean production for cattle for feed are horrific. But soybeans can be grown and are grown sustainably in a way that doesn't chop down rainforests or rely on GMO seeds and that is grown organically. Same with sugar, another crop that can be environmentally devastating if not grown and harvested in a conscious way, or bananas for that matter, or really any domestic crop. The problem isn't bananas or sugar or soybeans or palm. The problem is how they're being produced. Now, this reminds me of a story I heard on a Freakonomics podcast. Freakonomics is awesome. Check out their podcast. But it kind of had the same kind of straw man arguments in what is ultimately a very important conversation to have. But ultimately, the conclusions it drew or was trying to draw and the parallels it was drawing was kind of ridiculous. Basically, it was an episode that talked about this Mexican drug cartel called Caballeros Templarios, the Knights Templar, which has infiltrated the avocado sector in Mexico and now controls the local trade from production to distribution. It started with this despicable cartel called La Familia, founded by an absolute wackadoodle despot who, not content to traffic only marijuana and cocaine and heroin, La Familia set up a variety of extortion rackets in this particular region, and the avocado business was one of them. So I keep saying this despot. He was just off his rocker and just despicable. And he was killed, the leader of this La Familia. He was killed in 2010. And so there was, of course, then fighting within La Familia, and there was an offshoot, which is this Templarios, this Knights Templar. They intensified the extortion and kidnapping, but they went even further. So now avocado farmers and traders say that Templarios not only demand money, but they also actively take over plantations and packing plants. They threaten, they bribe, they extort, they intimidate. And if you lie to them about your output, if you're trying to protect your crop so that you could just sell without being part of this horrific cartel, they kill you or one of your family members. It's just horrific. And so in the Freakonomics podcast, they called them blood avocados, right? So they talked about blood avocados. And some people are calling for a boycott of avocados, which of course hurts these legitimate farmers who are trying to earn the living they once earned by growing this legitimate crop. And then Freakonomics took it even further. It was just ridiculous. And I'm not going to get into the ridiculousness of it because they were talking about ethics and what people are paying attention to and people making conscious choices as consumers. And so they said, okay, what if you have this humanely grown, humanely raised, humanely killed chicken, and then you have blood avocados, which is worse, to have this perfectly happy chicken, happy meat, whatever, I'm using their language, and then you've got these blood avocados, which would you choose? And that's where it got ridiculous, because you can grow avocados without contributing to the drug cartel, but you can't produce chicken to consume without killing someone. It's just completely a false dichotomy. It's not one for one. It's not an even argument. So it was ridiculous. That was that. But the point is, just as avocados are not the problem, not even palm oil is the problem. It's how it's currently being produced and harvested. Humans have been cultivating and using palm oil for thousands of years. However, it wasn't until 1885 when William Lever founded Lever Brothers in England and became the first to commercialize the use of palm oil for its bar soaps and to build palm oil plantations in Indonesia. The company, which later became Unilever, is now among the world's largest buyers of palm oil for its myriad consumer products. Now, they, I am certain, are responsible for a huge majority of the devastation in these rainforests. Now they're trying to reduce the environmental impacts they have. I encourage you to look into them and what they're doing about that. There are companies, these multinational companies that are the reason for this devastation who are now looking to do it differently. That's a different conversation, but go look into what they're doing. I didn't look very deeply and I wonder what's going on and I will check into it myself. But even the Rainforest Action Network, the one who has been openly critical of Earth Balance and of course palm oil, and it should be critical of palm oil, states that it's possible to create sustainable palm oil. This is a quote from Rainforest Action Network. Responsible palm oil is produced without contributing to rainforest or peat land destruction, species extinction, greenhouse gas emissions, or human rights abuses. Food manufacturing companies need transparent and traceable supply chains from the plantation where the palm oil was sourced to the final product on your grocery store shelf. And I return to Rainforest Action Network again in a bit. So it's absolutely essential that consumers and consumer advocacy groups vet companies, whether they make vegan or non-vegan products. We need systems in place so that companies are held accountable and that their practices are transparent. Absolutely, 100%. And so concerned customers, vegan customers, possibly other customers, have contacted Earth Balance. They've asked them about palm oil, palm fruit. Earth Balance has fully disclosed where and from whom they source their palm oil, but it hasn't stopped what really feels like a witch hunt. The naysayers keep putting photos up of orangutans and Earth Balance being responsible for destroying their habitat. Earth Balance is not getting their palm from countries where orangutans live. I am not saying that other animals are not affected by the crops in those other countries where they're getting the palm oil, but they're not responsible for killing orangutans. Although there are companies that are, and I only hope that these folks have spent as much time and energy on working to stop the actual culprits. Maybe they are, maybe they have, I don't know, but that's not what I see online. And I think it's easy for vegans to go after a vegan company, or at least a company creating vegan products, for a number of reasons. A, I think they're low-hanging fruit because I think we feel we have more access to them than we do large multinational companies. And also because we hope for consistency from already conscious companies, right? But I also think we expect perfection from companies as we do from individuals who are trying to do the right thing. And then we play the same gotcha game that non-vegans play with us. I will tell you right now, leaving aside non-vegan companies, every single vegan company is guilty of something that is in some way having some kind of impact. They're using packaging that takes resources. They're contributing to resources just having a manufacturing plant. They're using resources transporting their products all around the country and all around the world. And I think for eco and conscious and vegan companies, I think their footprint is much smaller. I think it's much lighter. I think that's what's exciting about the potential for vegan companies and conscious companies to lead the way. I mean, look at what Follow Your Heart is doing. Follow Your Heart products, right? Like Veganaise, they're manufactured in a facility that's 100% solar powered, 100%. Now, they also use palm oil, which they get only from plantations, also not destroying orangutan habitat. Personally, me being alive, I'm contributing to resources. I use water. I use fossil fuels. I have a footprint on this earth, but I try to have the lightest possible. I try to make conscious decisions. I try to be someone who might have an impact and influence on others to follow the same road and to create systems that raise the bar so that we all make better choices, just like these companies have the potential to do, just like Earth Balance and other conscious companies have the potential to do. So I will say this. Earth Balance states 30% of our palm oil comes from Brazil. Our Brazil-sourced palm oil is 100% organic and is used in all of our organic products. And because orangutans are not native to South America, the Brazilian palm industry does not adversely impact their well-being. I'm going to finish the quote. This is what I already said above. The remaining 70% of our palm oil comes from responsible sources in Peninsular Malaysia, also a non-native orangutan habitat, which are all members of the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO, the leading global organization developing and implementing global standards for sustainable palm oil production. Personally, I don't buy anything but organic Earth Balance. Agropalma is the source of their organic palm fruit, which is 30% of their product makeup. You can visit agropalma.com.br to learn more about who they are and what they do, their partnerships with local communities, their transparency in this very important issue, and on how they're reinforcing Agropalma, reinforcing and improving upon the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil, RSPO, principles and criteria. It's the RSPO that when naysayers say, no, it can't be done sustainably, and I don't trust the RSPO, that's who they're skeptical about. That's where Earth Balance gets 70% of its palm oil from, right? From RSPO certified plantations. And so Rainforest Action Network, one of the organizations that has openly criticized Earth Balance, is partnered with Agropalma in raising this bar. And I think this says a lot. Here is a bit from a 2013 press release from Rainforest Action Network. Progressive palm oil companies and environmental and social NGOs today launched the Palm Oil Innovation Group, POIG, at the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil's annual general assembly. The group is made up of producers and civil society organizations and includes Agropalma, Dabon, or Dabon, it's D-A-A-B-O-N, and I talk about them in just a minute, New Britain Palm Oil, as well as WWF, World Wildlife Foundation, Rainforest Action Network, Forest People's Program, and Greenpeace. The POIG builds on the RSPO certification scheme with additional requirements to ensure that there is a supply of traceable palm oil free from forest and peatland destruction and human rights abuses. Earth Balance's parent company is also constantly looking to improve where they're getting their 70% from, and they're also working with Daybon. They're a supplier similar to Agropalma. Agropalma is in Brazil, and Daybon is in Colombia. You can go to daabon.com.co to check them out. So the point is, that's why I buy organic Earth Balance, because they're sourcing it from Agropalma, and they're doing really exciting things, including partnering with people like Rainforest Action Network to make it so that the standards and the criteria are even higher for those who are following the standards set by the RSPO, okay? That's for the 70% that Earth Balance uses for its conventional non-organic Earth Balance items. And for those items, they have affidavits in place from their suppliers certifying that their oil comes from peninsular Malaysia versus the region in Borneo, which is one of the last habitats for orangutans. Is it naive of me to believe these statements by Earth Balance and these affidavits? I don't think so. Could they be lying? Yes, they could be lying, but I highly doubt they would stake their entire company and reputation on it. I don't believe that Earth Balance is out to destroy the rainforest. In all things, there's a point at which we have to trust. So you could carry this to its illogical conclusion and not believe any company or package that says vegan or organic on the packaging, right? But at some point, I have to trust that the product is vegan if it says vegan, or the product is organic if it says organic, and not spend my life cynically doubting everything in front of me. So in my opinion, of the two sources Earth Balance uses for its palm oil, there's the organic version, which is 30%, and there's the conventional, which is 70%. The one that sources from Agropalma, the organic, is far superior, not only for the rainforest issue, but it's organic. And that's what I'm going to do. I buy the organic Earth Balance. And I would suggest that maybe instead of a campaign that says boycott Earth Balance, maybe there's a campaign that says buy only organic Earth Balance. If their main revenue could come from the organic source, then it would be more cost-effective for them to sell only organic. And that would be fantastic. And they would continue to lead the way in working with the local communities to actually source palm oil in a sustainable way. Now, if you don't believe that could be done at all, then just turn the podcast off right now, because you just don't believe that anything could be done sustainably. And there are crops that are done in very unsustainable ways, or have historically been grown and harvested in very unsustainable ways, that now are being done in a much more sustainable way. But if you don't think that it's even possible to do that, then there's nothing to say. Then the story ends there. And I have nothing to say to that, because you just don't want to, I don't know, maybe if we could all just grow our own food and know exactly where every single solitary ingredient comes from, like if that were realistic, I'd be behind that, but I don't think it's realistic. So to my mind, Earth Balance and Follow Your Heart and Daya and other conscious vegan companies who are using sustainable palm oil are not the problem when it comes to rainforest destruction. The problem is not the vegan companies using 0.001% of the palm oil in the world. The production of animal-based meat, especially beef, is the primary problem for the destruction of rainforest. And when we're talking about palm oil production, if you really want to have an impact on the forests and the orangutans and the despicable practice of cutting down the lungs of the earth and the homes of non-human animals to produce cheap fat, continuing to bash Earth Balance, in my opinion, is misplaced and wasted time and energy. It doesn't mean you have to buy Earth Balance. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have contacted Earth Balance. I am so glad there are people out there who are asking the questions and writing to companies and really making sure that we're doing things the best way we can. If you don't want to buy Earth Balance, don't buy it. But there's more to say about this than just boycott Earth Balance. So thank you to those who are raising this issue in a sound and productive way with accurate information. Let's continue to be mindful of our impact and push companies in the right direction. But I'm just not one to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'd love to grow all my own food. And frankly, I'm working toward that. But it's not realistic to expect this. Not even of me. I'm not going to grow wheat and I'm not going to make my own flour. But I will make sure that the companies I get this flower from or whatever I can't grow is using sustainable practices. And the only way I can know that that's happening for sure is by believing them, is by supporting the companies who are putting these systems in place to do the due diligence, to be able to monitor and have there be consequences to those who are not following sustainable practices. So all we can do is support those who are making it possible for us to still eat food and do it in a way that really is very much, very truly sustainable. So to me, that's what makes sense, is to work toward supporting companies who are working toward the most sustainable ways of doing things. And as far as I can see it, that's what these conscious companies are doing. They're leading the way. That's what Earth Balance and Dr. Bronner's and lots of other conscious natural eco companies are doing. They're leading the way. So that's my answer to your friend, Melissa, who chastises vegans for getting Earth Balance. This is being perpetuated by vegans who are actually putting this message out there, and I find it really unfortunate. But I also, of course, find it ironic and unfortunate that she's outraged that vegans are eating Earth Balance when Earth Balance is not the cause of rainforest destruction. Earth Balance is not destroying the orangutans, but she's still eating animal products, which are absolutely the cause of rainforest destruction, and of course, the animals themselves destroying the animals that she's eating. It's easy to give money to an orangutan organization and still eat animals. That's easy. And it's easy to be smug about that as well. And I just don't like smugness, and I don't like self-righteousness, and I don't like judgment. And it's rampant in both vegans and non-vegans. So to answer the question, do I have alternatives to Earth Balance? As I said, my stance is to buy organic Earth Balance. You know, when you're buying Earth Balance, it's not like I buy tubs and tubs of Earth Balance. And I want to be clear about that too. We'll buy a small tub of the organic Earth Balance. It could sit in our refrigerator for 3 months or more. It just does, because I don't always bake just with Earth Balance. Maybe I'm sometimes baking with coconut oil or coconut butter. Maybe sometimes I'm using canola oil, organic canola oil. Maybe sometimes I'm using organic grapeseed oil. Maybe sometimes I'm using avocado to spread on my toast or just peanut butter. But it's not because I'm avoiding Earth Balance. It's just one of the products that are available to me. And I'm grateful that there is an organic version where I can trace the source of what they're putting into their product. There's no substitute for Earth Balance as far as the final product goes in my chocolate chip cookies, so I have no answer to that. You can try canola oil and flaxseed for those cookies. Let me know how it goes. I'd like to hear how it goes. And if it goes well, fantastic. That's great. But like I said, buy the organic version of Earth Balance. When it comes to buying Earth Balance, avoid palm oil when you don't know the source. Avoid palm oil when you can. I mean, for instance, peanut butter doesn't need palm oil in any way. Palm oil, the way partially hydrogenated oil has been and probably is still used in many crappy products, that oil was put in so that people don't have to stir, so that it basically does away with the natural separation that occurs between the nut and the oil in the nut, right? So that's why you have a lot of the oil that rises to the top when you buy peanut butter or almond butter or sunflower seed butter, whatever. And so in order to just have a smooth, consistent butter, that's why oil is added. In the past, it had been hydrogenated oil, and now palm oil is being used. And Earth Balance adds palm oil to their peanut butter, and I don't like their peanut butter, to be honest. I don't like it at all. They also add agave nectar, which, yes, it's better than, I guess, cane sugar in terms of a sweetener in the peanut butter, but my favorite peanut butter is just ground peanuts with a little salt. So to me, there are ways to also avoid palm oil when you just don't need it. So when you're buying peanut butter, buy just natural peanut butter. You don't need all that. Just stir is what I'm saying. Just stir your peanut butter. And then get behind campaigns that are trying to protect the Indonesian and Sumatran and Borneo, you know, rainforests and the orangutans. The one I support more than any other, it's the obvious one because I just love them so much. I've been following Birute Galdakas's work for years, is Orangutan Foundation International. That's orangutan.org. Birute Mary Galdakas, as many of you know, is part of the whole group of women, Goodall, who was working with the chimpanzees, and Fosse, who was working with the gorillas, and of course, Galdakas, who has been working with the orangutans for decades, and she's amazing. Brings tears to my eyes thinking about the work she's doing and the work they're doing. So support them, get behind them, absolutely. That's what I recommend. And please note that orangutan ends with an N, not with a G. So it's not orangutan, it's orangutan. And so the spelling of her organization is O-R-A-N-G. U-T-A-N, orangutan.org. So that's all I have, and I'm sure this will create much conversation, and I hope it does. This is my opinion. This is just what I think, and I hope we can keep moving in the direction of making things better. That's what we all want. So thank you to everyone who is doing that. Everyone in every way. Thank you to Field Roast, fieldroast.com. Please try their fabulous products, especially their new burger. Thank you to our listeners and to our supporters. If you appreciate the work and the thought and the time and the content and the research that goes into this podcast and you want to keep it coming your way, please become a patron. Go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau or go to joyfulvegan.com for the animals, for all the animals, every single one of them. This is Colleen Patrick Gaudreau. Thanks for listening.